In 2014, two young Dutch women decided to take a gap year off from university to explore and to teach local Panamanian children. These two ladies had been living in Boquete, Panama for just over 2 weeks when early one morning, the two had geared up to take a long hike throughout the La Pinista Trail and were very excited to start their exploration. So they took all the equipment they needed and set out to walk the summit. Not long after, the taxi they had taken dropped them off. They also brought along their host family's dog, and the girls began walking. They took lots of pictures, taking in the breathtaking views, and seemed all around ecstatic to be exploring the great vast lands Panama had to offer. But later, that same evening, the dog would be found wandering back to the host family's home with no sign of the two women. 2 days would pass with no sign of where these women had gone, and they would officially be declared missing. This is the disturbing case of Chris Kremers and Lisanne Froon, the missing hikers of Panama. I'm Kendall Hudson, and this is When the Light Goes Out. Chris Kremers and Lisanne Froon were best friends that had both been raised in Amersfoort, province of Yucatec in the Netherlands. The two had only been a year apart in age, Chris at the time of her disappearance being 21 and Lisanne being 22 years old. Chris Kremers was born August 9, 1992 to Hans and Rolly Kremers. She had been described as a very creative and responsible young woman with lots of ambition. Lisanne Froon was born September 24, 1991 to Peter and Deanie Froon. Lisanne had been described as ambitious, intelligent, and carried many passions such as playing volleyball, acting, and photography. Within the year prior to the girl's disappearance, Lisanne had just recently completed her degree in Applied Psychology at Saxion University of Applied Sciences in Deventer, Netherlands, while Chris had been pursuing cultural social education at Yucatec University with an emphasis in art education. Eventually, the girls had come to an agreement to reward themselves for all the hard work from university studies and take the year off to educate youth and volunteer in the country of Panama. With little money on hand, the two took several months to save. They lived together as roommates to cut costs and even worked together as waitresses at a pub that had been called in Deeklandhop to help finance their mission trip. After months of saving, the girls said goodbye to their respective families and flew the distance from Amsterdam to Costa Rica in Latin America. And from there, the women headed to Bocas del Toro, Panama to begin their new adventure. Bocas del Toro is largely known for its astonishing beaches, vast rainforests, and spirited Caribbean culture, only 45 minutes away from Panama City. The ladies arrived in Panama March 15, 2014, anticipating a great opportunity to refine their Spanish. While in Bocas del Toro, the two spent some time in this coastal area starting to learn some Spanish and getting a feel for the culture, enjoying the local food and drink spots as well. The two girls would also eventually meet two young Dutch men that were tourists as well visiting Panama. From all accounts, they spent some time relaxing and just enjoying everything they could. Weeks later, on March 29th, the ladies would then set out 90 minutes west to Boquete, Panama to finally meet their host family that they'd be living with for 4 to 6 weeks that they'd be staying in Boquete. Boquete is a small mountain town that is the westernmost province of Chiriqui and sits on the border with Costa Rica. Once the two ladies got to their host family's house, they were told that they should have received an email from their program 3 days prior, informing them that their volunteer work was delayed by a week. The shift in plans did irk the girls at first, being that they had been so excited to start teaching English to children, but nevertheless, they made plans to keep themselves busy. They explored around the small mountain town, met some natives, and shared a lot of their excursions on Facebook. Then came the day of April 1st, 2014. Chris and Lisanne woke up to a beautiful sunny day and decided it would be the perfect day for a hike. The two had planned to hike through El Pinista Trail. El Pinista Trail is a well-known hiking trail popular for its dense jungle and mountains that climb high enough to sit above the clouds. This coins the forest's name, the Cloud Forest. It's about 5 miles away from where the girls have been staying with their host family. The family allowed the girls to take the hike with the family's dog, Blue, and once they had collected everything they needed, they set out. At around 11 a.m., the taxi driver, Leonardo Arturo Gonzalez, would arrive to the host family's home where the three would pack in and drive to the entrance of the trail. The girls carried one lightweight backpack between each other that carried their passports, a water bottle, a Canon PowerShot SX270 digital camera, about $80 in cash, and their cell phones. Those that know the La Pinista Trail well strongly encourage that those choosing to hike never stray beyond the trail's path, as it can become very rugged, steep, and becomes the most treacherous between April to October because of its wet season. Even the most professional hikers stay rear knowing the dangers of this mountain. So the trail runs between two providences, Chiriqui and Bocas del Toro, with 70 feet deep gorges and cable bridges that are made up by three cables as a bridge. One cable to step on and two to hold on to. So 2 hours pass when the ladies finally reach the summit and they are ecstatic. They are taking photos, celebrating, and from the photography that would later be discovered, there had seemed to be no indication that the two would endure a horror only hours later. Here's a timeline of the events that followed. Like I had said, Chris and Lisanne were last seen alive, beginning their hike through the La Pinista Trail near Boquete when they had reached the summit around 1 p.m. where they continued taking tourist-like photos. After, according to the photos later found, suggested they continued past the summit onto an unmarked trail that led into a more dangerous jungle terrain. This would just be further away from any safe route back onto the trail. The photo timestamps and phone logs from the ladies' phones also suggested that between 1 p.m. and 4:30 p.m. is when the girls probably started to encounter trouble. By the time 4:30 p.m. came, Lisanne would attempt making her first emergency call to 112, which is the European emergency number. Unfortunately, it seemed at first that Lisanne wasn't aware that 112 was not the emergency number in Panama, as it is 911 in Panama and 112 in the Netherlands. This, of course, would lead to no success, and Chris would then make a second emergency call resulting in the same outcome. Meanwhile, back at the host family's home, Blue, the host family's dog, had returned home alone without Chris or Lisanne. Initially, the host family was alarmed that they had sent the dog back home without any quick note of where they had been headed next, but then again, the family had only known the woman for days and figured that maybe they had wanted to extend their day of festivities and stay out a little longer, and no immediate search had begun that night. 2 days would pass by when on April 3rd, both the host family and the local guide that was due to take the girls to a national park would grow concerned. After they were declared missing, authorities wrangled search dogs, search teams were created, and helicopters swarmed the skies of Panama. The parents of both women were quickly informed, and by April 6th, the parents of both young women arrived along with Dutch detectives the parents brought with them. They conduct a much larger scale search with sniffer canine units as well as specialized search and rescue teams to trek through the mountains and terrain. After days of searching, the families grew impatient and worrisome of what happened to their loved ones. Even having a $30,000 reward being set, search parties relentlessly checked the forest, but nothing had helped produce any sign of where the woman had gone. It was truly as if they had just vanished into thin air. Unfortunately, 10 more weeks would go by without any trace of Chris and Lisanne, and search efforts would start to become stagnant when a local Panamanian woman had been walking along a bank in the vast forest of Boquete, finding and turning in a blue book bag that appeared to be clean and dry, as if it had been undisturbed. This was especially odd, being that this book bag had been found near a bank during Panama's monsoon season, and it just had been dry. The woman that found the bag also claimed she hadn't seen it there the day before when she had been in the same area. The local woman was quickly dismissed as a suspect, and do keep in mind, this forest does have two major tribes that reside in it, being the Nikbi Bugle and the Embara tribe. This being said, it isn't uncanny that someone living here knew the forest well and would find any remnants of the two missing hikers. In the bag were two pairs of sunglasses, $83 to $88 in cash, a water bottle, two bras, and Lisanne Froon's passport. The most important clue to this mystery were both the girls' cell phones and Lisanne's digital camera being found inside the book bag as well. Both cell phones had remained in service 10 days after the two hikers had disappeared. The two emergency calls were just 2 hours after the women began their hike. 77 separate attempts had been made in the first 4 days of their last known whereabouts to 911. Remember, this is the emergency number to Panamanian police, but they called 112, once again being the Dutch police. Chillingly, all 77 calls had enough service to contact authorities, but because of how dense the Phuket forest is, every attempt would connect and then the call would immediately drop in seconds. It is assumed that the ladies would have even possibly heard planes or helicopters going by, but for the same reason, the jungle just forms too much of a dense canopy for anyone to see them down below. The same day that the ladies' parents had flown in, on April 6th, the phones had shown that there had been several unsuccessful attempts made to unlock Chris's phone, but never showing any sign of the phone being unlocked after that. It is easy to speculate that some random stranger the woman did not know attempted to unlock Chris's phone, but there is also a possibility something happened to Chris and Lisanne did not know or remember the PIN number to her friend's phone to attempt dialing for help. By the 11th of April, both phones had lost battery and went dead. While what was found on the cell phones were haunting, what investigators would find on the camera would shake some of the most seasoned detectives to their core. In total, the camera had 133 images stored on the SD card that was found in the camera. The first several photos found on Lisanne's camera were taken on the morning of April 1st, the day the two had first left for their hike. From what you can see from these photos, which are available online, both of the girls appeared to be in good spirits, one being a selfie of the two smiling. Chris with her shorter length red hair, wearing a red and white striped tank top and blue jean shorts, and Lisanne with her auburn colored hair tied into a ponytail wearing a teal blue tank top. As the photo's timestamp progress, we see what appears to be Lisanne taking photos of Chris making funny faces and the beautiful views of their hike. Though as investigators continued looking through the camera, things would become much darker. 90 of the photos taken would begin hitting between the hours of 1 and 4 a.m. on the morning of April 8th. Most of these photos taken at night had shown little to anything, at most blurry out-of-focus photos illuminating the surrounding vegetation. A few other photos show images of random items spread out on a rock. The items were a plastic bag, Kenny wrappers, a mirror, and what appeared to be a pile of melted dirt sitting beside the items. Another photo showed red fabric stuck on a thin tree branch, and one of the oddest photos being timestamped at 1:49 a.m. being an image of the back of Chris's head. All that can be seen is the camera flashing a close-up of Chris's long red hair, and if you look closely, it looks as if there is blood stained in her hair, just below where the hair parts. While there is a possibility that there is blood seen in the photo, clear enhancements of the image since have not confirmed any injury. Many assume that the reason for the random photos taken of the dark jungle was to help the girls see where they were going, being that they had been stranded in complete darkness. If that all wasn't weird enough, when investigators had later scanned through the memories card file structure, they noticed that a photo had been noticeably missing or deleted. This is odd because if these two women were in danger or worried about surviving, why would they take the time to delete a photo? On the contrary, digital cameras can't always be deemed reliable and may have been corrupted, resulting in what looked like a missing photo. When the investigators had went to the spot where the native woman found the backpack, they also uncovered finding Chris's blue denim shorts placed neatly on a rock. 2 months after this discovery, in the same spot, follow-up searchers would find a human pelvic bone, various bone fragments with flesh still attached, and a severed foot inside a hiking boot. DNA would eventually match these remains, being that of Chris Kremers and Lisanne Froon. What the Panamanian forensic anthropologists had noted in their analysis of the remains was that Chris's bones appeared to have been bleached while Lisanne's remains still had remnants of flesh attached. In addition, there had been no signs of cuts, abrasions, or marks found on the remains. After further questioning locals, the tour guide, and other frequent hikers, the case would initially be classified as homicide, but later to be deemed that the women simply may have perished in a hiking accident due to the dangerous elements of the terrain they had been in. Still, to this day, no ruling had been made official as to what happened, nor has there been any official cause of death. The devastated families would eventually return to the Netherlands with what remains investigators found laying the two friends to rest. In memorial, a small monument would be placed at the Mirador lookout along the El Penista Trail. Although the case has gone cold on the missing hikers of Panama, many professionals and researchers of this case speculate foul play. Many of the theories that surround this case suggest that the women were victims of kidnapping or murder. This may explain the tempering of the camera and the neatly placed clothes found on the rock near where the backpack had been found. A sub-theory being organ trafficking or the friends seeing something they shouldn't have being silenced. Other theories believe that this could all have truly just been an accident, and the girls went off trail, undressed to go swim, and found themselves lost. This could support the sub-theory that the girls passed away by natural causes, allowing their bodies exposed to predators such as jaguars, vultures, caiman, and crocodiles. This would explain why Lisanne's remains still had flesh attached to the bone, although this still would not account for the 3 separate times evidence had been found in the similar location, Chris's bones appearing bleached, and if animals had got to their remains, you'd think that there would be some mark on the bones, and there were none, but stranger things have happened. As I said, public fascination to this case continues to keep this case from being forgotten. In addition to this, forensic technology continues to evolve, so there is always hope that someday we will know what happened to Chris Kremers and Lisanne Froon. Thank you so much for listening to the case of the missing hikers of Panama, and please do not forget to follow the podcast for new episodes and leave a rating wherever you're listening. You can follow the podcast on Instagram and TikTok at WTLGOPodcast for more content. With that, I'll see you next when the light goes out.